grab the spear of life and aim it, and you'll be guided by edutainment.
So there's this concept that we put together called edutainment. So edutainment is a combination between entertainment and education. So we want to make education entertaining.
So grab the spear of life and aim it, and you'll be guided by edutainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another rendition of the Edutain Me show. Now, last time we had to pull a hiatus on the program because I was traveling. I was actually in Georgia. Dr. Voss was busy with classes, but we're back. You know, sometimes we'll scare you guys and disappear for a little bit, but you guys have counted on us to show up again. You know, we've been doing this for a couple years now, Mark, and once in a while we just kind of disappear. But
we have to know that we're loved, right? We need to know that we actually have some kind of impact on our listeners.
That's right, because a life without impact is a life that doesn't have much at all to give. Speaking of impact, we're going to get right into it because our guest has limited time. She's a very busy woman, and you know, we've been very fortunate to have her here today with us. Speaking of making an impact, this woman has been making an impact in various different ways for many years with regards to higher education, lower education, and financial education. She's somebody that if you want practical advice with regards to how to save money, make money, and just have money, and that's my kind of language. I love it.
It's something they definitely don't teach you in school. So if you've gone through high school and you still don't know how to apply for a mortgage, well, there you go. This is why we have guests like this.
And that's coming from a college professor from a top United States university telling you that. But we won't tell your bosses that you just said that on the air.
Well, I mean, college level is a little different because there are courses available for that. But again, not everyone takes those, number one. And number two, it is assumed that you already know something about financial, well, intelligence, if you will. Once you get to university, but yeah.
That's a good point, and I can't wait to introduce our guest so you two can go at it, and so I can sit back and watch, because I really love it when people just go all intellectual on me. Chella, welcome to the Edutain Me show.
My pleasure, guys. I've been looking forward to this, and oh my heavens. And you said two words, each one of you said one word, mortgage. I did mortgage underwriting for 20 years. So I kind of know a little bit about that, and I've been saving since I was 9 years old, so I kind of know a little bit about that, too. You know, money just makes sense to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I bought my car when I was 17 and my house when I was 23.
Wow.
That's incredible. And, you know, you mentioned that money makes sense, and I've always said if it doesn't make dollars, it doesn't make sense. So we know that you can save. We know that you can do the paperwork. How can we make some money, Chella?
We know it's so funny, especially our college students, college and high school, because I know that the course is available at the college level. But, you know, it's getting our students to think about tomorrow. So one of the things that I learned when I actually underwrote over 30,000 real estate loans.
Wow.
And I saw a pattern. You know, I saw a pattern on how the rich save their money and how the poor spend their money.
That's right. And it's so interesting because every time you go through a neighborhood that's disenfranchised, and Chello, you know, I had a program, and I still have the program, as a matter of fact, with a woman named Cindy Prater out of Texas who has a program where dropouts and people that never finished school can get a accredited high school diploma. Now, there's a lot of companies out there that kind of would take advantage of disenfranchised people, give them a GED that wasn't accredited. So with one of my companies, Now Hip Hop, which caters to the hip hop community, Cindy Prater and I made a program where a lot of these kids that approach us and approach me and want to get on the website and in the magazine who are aspiring rappers, often they come from disenfranchised urban cities in the United States, and they only have a dream to make it in rap, and they don't really have an educational background. So, you know, when I was bombarded with all these people, I spoke with Cindy and I said, look, I got all these kids that want to be on the website, want to be in the magazine, but a lot of them, they don't have a backup plan outside of music. So we actually developed a program to help streamline literally these tens of thousands of people that are aspiring rappers to get their education. And when a hip-hop platform is telling them to do that, they listen. So I'm all about helping the disenfranchised. And I'm so excited to talk to somebody who's literally spent years of her life doing the same. But back to that point of making people aware of the basics and of finances, what are the big things that this generation is just not able to comprehend right now with financial literacy?
Well, one, they don't think about the older version of themselves. You know, let's go back for a moment. You know, when you were 17 and 18, you were thinking about the 45-year-old you or the 50-year-old you. But now we have to do that because companies, you know, used to be, let's say pretend you're going to go out and get a job. You know, it used to be that the company, you worked there 30 years, they took care of you, they had a retirement plan. Our kids, the next generation, they don't have that available to them. So it's up to them to start looking out for themselves.
So what would you tell someone who says, listen, you know, I only have $10 in my pocket. How can I turn these $10 into $10,000? And how can I do that quickly?
Well, I would say the turtle wins the race, slow and steady. You know what I mean? And we'll talk about some of the folks, especially, you know, in the music business or sports, right? So have a plan. You know, I bought my house when I was 23, and I did that because I was constantly putting away money, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to have something that you want. With those $10, can I put away $10 a month? Get into the habit of doing that, whatever that amount is. You know, the experts are going to tell you that you should put away 10%, whatever the amount is. I say put whatever amount you can. Start at somewhere. So if you're making $2,000 a month, what if you start saving $50 a month? Start where you are now and build up to it, right? It's not a magic pill, and I'm not going to say that I'm going to turn your $10 into, you know, $20,000, but I can tell you that if you give me $5,000 and we put it away into an account, into a tool, and you put that away for your retirement, I can guarantee you you're going to have $864,000 in that. And that's why I want to go out and empower, and this is what I do. I go out and I share this information because most of the students in my low-income communities don't know. Although that's not, I also go out to some of the, you know, private schools. Just because the mommy and daddy have the money, that does not mean that they're teaching their kids how to manage money.
Very true.
Very true.
I've come across both, right? So it's about, you know, what can we do protecting yourself. Start putting away money for the older version of yourself. Learn the dangers of credit cards. You know, don't get yourself into credit card debt and make the minimum payment because you're making the credit card companies rich.
Yep,
absolutely.
You know, exactly right. So you work that, you know, just if you take that, put some money away, $5, $10, $20, start whatever your starting point is. Obviously, if you can put away $100, but do whatever your starting point is.
Mm-hmm.
And then what if you give up one of your coffees or lattes or going out to lunch, right? And you put that away towards the older version of yourself.
Mm-hmm. That's a very pragmatic and a practical approach. And I hope the audience is really writing notes while you're speaking because these are golden nuggets. Now,
Save.
Now, Mark, you said if there's someone out there with $10 and they want to be rich, what can they do? I think they got to go to Barnes & Noble and buy Think and Grow Rich with that last $10. Because that book could be worth $1 million. That's right. What it says on the cover.
I mean, basically what you're saying is invest in yourself, right? And in saving, you are investing in yourself down the road. I mean, what is money at the end of the day other than your labor and your energy and your time? It's just another form of that.
Exactly, right? And you want to protect yourself first. You know, it's kind of like when you fly, right? Put the mask on yourself first and then help others.
Absolutely.
Right. So if you're able to save the $10, $100, whatever that can be, and what if you're, you know, make your $1 million, $2 million, just imagine how many people you'll be able to impact.
That's a very valid point. I mean, you can't help others if you yourself are in a predicament that doesn't allow you to move beyond the confines of your little world, right?
Right. And we can say that about, you know, either hip-hop rappers, and now there's some incredible, really great folks out there that are making really good things with their money, but you know we have people that go bankrupt all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because just because you're making money, that doesn't mean that you know how to manage your money.
Right, and that's why I appreciate you both reaching out to the lower demographics and the higher demographics. Because it's funny because I've known a lot of people that are these rappers that people see on TV. And a lot of them happen to be my personal friend because I've been in the industry for so many years, naturally. And it's funny because I've seen a lot of people go from nothing to making hundreds of thousands of dollars, in some cases millions, and they spend the money as if it never ends, and then they wonder why after a couple years it's gone. And consequently, I've also seen people who were born into a multi-million dollar family, and they never learned responsibility, and even they keep spending money as if it never ends, and then it's gone. So it's kind of funny because it's the same problem for both high and both low with regards to the financial demographics. I do think that there's a fine line in between, and I appreciate the fact you're helping people understand that. With regards to mortgages and various other ways that we can have people invest in the money that they save, would you say that in today's market it would be a home? Would you say it would be a mutual fund? Because there's certainly people listening right now that might have a small nest egg, and it's their first nest egg, and they don't really know whether they should start a business, buy land, put it in a mutual fund, buy stocks. What would your most pragmatic and safest advice be to the people who are listening who might have a small nest egg of $30,000 but are worried about what to do with it with the questionable housing market?
Correct. And that is the million-dollar question. Two resources. One, I always like to say, listen, don't just take it from one person. Do your research to find out. But Tony Robbins has two amazing, it's Mastering Money. Now, you can go out and read his book. It's 650 pages. I have it. Or you can go to YouTube, look at those two. It's just 2 hours. Because he'll talk about seven ways that you can invest your money.
Right.
So definitely highly recommend that. Also, check out Mike Wolf. Mike Wolf with an E, M-I-K-E, and then Wolf with an E. He also has some phenomenal videos on YouTube. Mm-hmm. He's more about real estate. Personally, and this is just me, this is Chella, I still believe in real estate.
Mm-hmm. Now, would you say, I mean, I'm sure over the recent years you've seen the turmoil in Europe, you've seen the collapse or the bank holidays in Iceland and on Cyprus where they took money out of people's accounts directly with what they call a haircut, and you've seen the housing market crash here, and a lot of people are probably wondering, you know, what can we believe? You know, the LIBOR scandal showed that we can't believe the rating agencies. What would you tell the cynic out there that says, I don't trust the stock market, I don't trust the housing market because it's overinflated, I don't know what to invest in, I might just as well go into gold and leave it at that? I mean, any advice for those kind of people?
You know, absolutely, right? And I agree. Listen, we don't, unfortunately, have the greatest market here in California, right?
Oh, yeah.
But that doesn't mean that there's not a real estate market out there that are doing really good. So you have to go with somebody, and Mike Wolf happens to be, he's been in real estate for 25 years. Mm-hmm. And because I was in the real estate biz, I still hang out with a lot of realtors, so I'm up to date with the market. But what he does that I have not seen anybody else do, he does his homework. He goes into a town and he does his homework. He finds out, you know, what's going to happen in the next 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
So he really does his homework. Is that going to be a good investment? I have, again, in 20 years, I have not seen anybody that goes in and does his homework like he does.
Right. And
what does that entail? Exactly. In terms of homework, let's say we're taking the housing market in, oh, I don't know,
Texas.
Sure. Yeah. Let's do Texas.
Right. Well,
what do you tell
Texas,
someone?
He does a workshop in Texas. So he goes in and he really goes into the neighborhood. You know, he finds out, you know, of course, how much the houses are going, what's the activity, what's been happening in the past 5 years. Are there any companies that are due to come in? You know, what's the activity? Are businesses moving in? Are businesses moving out? Does the city have money to invest? Mm-hmm. Does the city have money to repair the roads? You know, what is the status of the city itself?
I'm so happy you're bringing those things up, Chella, because far too often people don't even consider looking into the municipality locally to see if it's, you know, a copacetic and logical investment for them to make long term. What are the long term developmental plans? Well, that's all public information. You go to the local city council and you literally ask them. People don't do the due diligence, and that's why, unfortunately, we see so many situations like what happened in Nevada And what happened with those beautiful homes being built all around Vegas that are now worth, you know, a third of what they were supposed to be worth when the developers were selling them. Because people didn't do the due diligence of the local municipalities. And when the government's not investing in the roads and the police department and the fire department, people are not going to live there. It's really simple, folks. It's not that hard. But people, it just goes over their head. And it's funny. I'm glad you brought up Mike Wolff. I think that people should definitely look at his work. About 6 months ago, I was at a conference and I had a personal conversation. Can't go into details of it, but it was with Peter Schiff, who I'm sure both of you are very familiar with. And he looked at me in my eyes and said, Mo, don't invest in anything other than gold, because everything in this country is going to go down. And I felt like the gentleman was genuine when he said that to me. So it's funny because there's so many different people that have bright minds that are saying different things.
What's the problem with the gold market, in other words?
Well, and actually, you know what? That is such a good point, and I'm constantly doing my homework on that. And for me, gold, there's just so much. There's so many people doing, you know, the pros and the cons. I am so on the fence at this point in time. I was just about ready to invest, and I'm like, ooh, I wonder, is this really the right thing for me to do? So I may still go ahead and invest a small portion. At the end of the day, I believe that, again, you should never put all your eggs in one basket.
Good point.
You have $30,000, right? I'm not going to put all $30,000. And I'm not saying me. I'm just, let's say you have $50,000. Mm-hmm. I would not put all $50,000 into one basket.
Right. And having a diverse portfolio, rather, is something that I would also concur with. And, you know, when it comes to financial investing, just to give my personal take, I take the Warren Buffett approach. Now, Warren Buffett, one of the magic tools that he had in his kitchen was he took systems that worked, and he took proven systems, and he took systems in which he knew there would be no competition, and he invested in proven systems. Now, if you look at Warren Buffett's portfolio, you don't see a lot of big risks compared to the relative return. And I like the mentality of safe, logical, strong investments. You know, one of the reasons why we had the bubble in the late 90s was because people stopped having the Warren Buffett approach. Anybody with a .com would get $1 million. One of the reasons why we had the issue in 2008 was because everybody wanted a $1 million home. Being smart and realistic and having a pragmatic Warren Buffett-like esque with your financial motives, I think, is the way to go. And I highly recommend people read Warren Buffett's work and his biography, autobiography, because you might think to yourself, well, I'm not Warren Buffett. I don't have, you know, billions of dollars. However, he has a mind and you have a mind. You can still utilize the same proven strategies with your 80,000 that he did with his 80 billion.
Absolutely. I mean, you could even start with, even if you have, right, the thing that we want to impress upon your audience is that don't think the biggest myth is that you have to have a lot of money in order to invest. Absolutely not. Start your investing today. Start with $100 a month. Start building up to something, right? It's better to start at $50 a month than to wait for that until you get that big payday, you know, until you get that bonus or until you get that commission. Or, you know what I mean? Start today. I think if they take away nothing else is start today wherever you are and build on it.
Right.
You know, you just start putting away that $50. You start putting away whatever amount is not going to feel painful to you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, I'm not saying, so don't totally give up on what you consider to be the fun stuff, right? Cut back on some. You know, for my ladies who love to do the shoe shopping, can you maybe cut back on one pair of shoes and put that away towards the older version of yourself?
That's a very valid point, and I mean, you only have yourself at the end of the day to rely on when it comes to making sound decisions that impact your life. You're the captain of your own vessel, right? So,
right, and, yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean? And so, what are you going to do to start taking care of the older version of you? Because I would hate for them to have to go out and get a job at Walmart because they ran out of money.
Precisely. And I mean, you know, there are different ways of making money. And basically what you're advocating here is something I am 100% on board with, which is save, 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 you know, because that money, even though it no longer earns interest in a bank, and if you're in Japan, you get negative interest rates, which means they actually charge you money to hold your money. You can still use that to start a business, to buy another business, and then that can be a source of income in the future that could pay for your rent, that could pay for any possible medical expenses. So there's more than just one way to make money, but you have to start with some, right? They always say money attracts money.
And absolutely. And then, you know, instant gratification. Stay away from the instant gratification. You know, wait. Give yourself that cool-off period. You know, is that thing that you really, really want to buy, you know, is that something that you really... Think about it. Do you want it or do you need it? You know?
There's something a scenario I'd like to pose for you here. Let's say you meet a 23-year-old college graduate from a prestigious university who has about $36,000 in student loans and compound interest on that starting in a year from graduation, doesn't have any job experience, majored in, let's say, business and political science. What would you tell him to do next?
That's a perfect scenario, too.
It's a very, very common one. And I think, you know, a lot of people think, oh, I just graduated from college. I have these degrees. What do I do? What now? What comes next?
Well, unfortunately, right now, that person is going, regardless of what degree you have, I shouldn't say regardless, but you're going to start at the lower level, right? So, and actually, I know such a person, and we won't mention what school, but we'll say here is in the LA area. And she had to move, and she got a job, and she had to move back in with her parents in order to pay for the loan.
That's
fairly
common.
She could not afford to pay rent, a car payment, and the student loan.
Wow. And that really, you know, is such an unfortunate reality that we have in this nation where students are almost punished for wanting to better their lives with these insane college fees and university fees, which if you look at it from a relative perspective, is a fraction of the cost for the same level of education in other countries. In some cases, other countries are actually investing more with regards to their institution and their professors and charging less, because here it's really become a really milk and dry system with regards to trying to make as much money from the students as possible. And I think it's heartbreaking because we should reward our fellow young Americans for trying to empower their lives, not punish them with these insane fees and insane regulations. But hopefully we'll see some reform in the coming years, and hopefully the people will stand up and say no more. Enough is enough.
I have another question for you.
Well, I was going to say, for that person, because this does happen quite a bit, and they don't want to move back into the parents, I would say do what you got to do, you know, in order to pay that off as quickly as possible. Otherwise, you're going to be paying tons of interest.
That is a very valid point. And honestly, that appears to be the model of our economy nowadays. I mean, if you see with the housing market crisis, a lot of people were told, oh, you want a $200,000 loan? Well, just, you know, you have a good job. Get the $400,000 loan. Get the bigger house. Get the bigger car. And on top of that, you know, even with the student loan debt specifically, I'm sure you've heard of collateralized debt options, right? Where basically individuals and companies can place, well, for the lack of a better term, bets on student loans defaulting and then make 10-to-1 odds based on whatever the loan was valued at. And, well, for the lack of a better term, create wealth based on betting. It's a casino.
And just to add one more point to that, the collateralized debt system even goes as far as to bet literally on the lives of employees with regards to life insurance. Meaning there's literally companies who financially will benefit if you die, because they will get millions of dollars if you die, because they have a life insurance policy on you that you're not even aware of, and your family doesn't get anything. So this collateralized debt system that a lot of companies are using and a lot of financial infrastructures are using literally is betting on you to die. Literally. So that's how extreme it gets, folks, when you go down that rabbit hole.
And this is where some of that cynicism comes from, where people say, well, you know, if people are buying weather derivatives on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange or hedging or betting against bank failures or mortgage defaults, it's become so crazy that a lot of people have just given up on investing altogether because of that. And I mean, is that the right mentality to have for something like this?
I gotta tell you, you know, they're totally. I mean, this is spooky and it's scary. you know, and I don't believe that the average American is going to go out and read as many books or listen to as many webinars as the three of us have here, right? But there's so much information. I say find somebody that's already done what you want to do, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, again, Mike Wolf has already done it. He's been doing it for 25 years. Highly recommend you check out his video. Even if you don't want to invest in real estate, the information that he provides is going to help you, and you can apply those same rules to other investments. Because he'll give you, you know, practical tips. You know, what can you do, you know, to do due diligence?
Can you please mention...
if real estate is not your cup of tea,
right.
You're going to learn something. So I say let's start doing that homework.
Mention his website one more...
Real estate is my thing, but it may not be for everybody.
Right, right. Cella, mention his website one more time for our listeners.
It's actually Mike Wolf, and you can find him on YouTube. And he has quite a few videos. He puts them out. And Mike, M-I-K-E, and then Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. Check out his YouTube videos. Check out Tony Robbins. He has more than that. The
right.
Mastering of Money.
Right, right. And it's funny you bring up Tony. Tony's actually going to be featured with regards to an affiliate program with Fortune Gazette, which launches next month. So we're excited to have Tony Robbins on board. And you mentioned his book, Money Master. And in 2014, 2015, I think 2014 or beginning of 15, I don't remember exactly, when that book came out, I remember how excited I was that, you know, he finally took a approach with helping people with strategies that are so practical and so down to earth and so, you know, common sense, but at the same time, things that people forget. What was it about that book? Because you mentioned he had seven specific points with regards to investing. What are a couple of the ones that hit home with you? Because I have mine that I'll share, but what are the ones that hit home with you?
Well, I think that he gives you, right? We're saying that investing and what should we invest? Should we invest in gold? Should we invest in real estate? But the way he breaks it down, and Warren Buffett, he mentions him a couple of times, but the way he breaks it down, so you're taking this ginormous, you know, option of possibilities, and he breaks them down to seven. What mm-hmm. if you choose two of those seven options that he gives you, right? And the first one, he says, live within your means. Start saving, right? Which is perfect. So even if you start just doing that to start with, living with your means, don't make the credit card companies rich, live within your means, so start there. Now you're going to have extra money to go out and invest. Then you can check out some of his other options that he has. And he's not selling you anything. He's just saying, listen, this is what I think you should go out and do. This is the pros and cons. You know, whatever fits within your lifestyle, go out and do something. But at least they will be on their way to doing something. So for me, the one, and I've shared this, I've sent out his video five times this week so far, is the myth, and I'm not going to talk about mutual funds. The mutual funds, that's what 90% of Americans, the average American, goes out and gets, and that is truly not the best investment.
I would agree.
There's better investments out there.
I would fundamentally agree because the return is so little compared to what you got to put in there. I mean, it's almost comical how ridiculous most mutual funds have gotten. It's like, why even bother doing that? I mean, there was a time period where it made sense in the 70s and 80s where it was more diverse and there was more of a return. But in today's market, I wouldn't recommend a mutual fund for someone who wants to seriously do something with their nest egg.
Right, but if you talk, when I go out and I do my workshops, that's the first thing they bring up. Which is why I share this so many times, because that's what they know, right? So if you have somebody, you know, your grandmother or your parents or your aunt or what, that's what they know. And they don't know that from today, but they know that from when that was a good investment. But that's what they're sharing with the current generation or our high school and college students, right? So if your grandma, you know, aunt or whoever's telling you that, that's how it's being carried down because that's where the information, that's where it's coming from.
What, just to kind of meander off that a little bit, you know, I asked you about what a college student should do. I mean, generally those are in a more privileged situation. Well, generally speaking, not of course for everybody, but what would you say to someone that lives paycheck to paycheck, let's say a low income wage earning single mother? who doesn't really have the option to save money, who basically lives paycheck to paycheck to make sure that she and her child gets food on the table every day, to live under a roof, you know, to have basic necessities. And I think what we're seeing here in this country especially is that a lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck. They're not able to afford things that they used to, and they're not able to save. I mean, the average save maybe 5% of their income, which is clearly not enough. But what would you say to them? I'm saying, I cannot afford to save money because I'm always, you know, I'm barely getting by.
I would say, and I have a 30-day challenge that I give people, and that is for them to keep track of any time they spent over a dollar, you write it down. And you do that for 4 weeks. Now, the single mom is a great example, and also my retired person. So both of those, they both have taken my challenge. And at the end of 30 days, I have not yet come across somebody that doesn't, after they do this exercise task, I have not yet to see a person that doesn't have extra money once they do this.
I love that, Chella, and I think that's an amazing idea, and I think that's a great program you have. And the reason why is, just to backpedal on a few minutes ago, when you said that a lot of people, especially in lower financial demographics, seem to love instant gratification. And I think that's part of, you know, their need to have escapism, to escape from their financial reality. And I know a lot of people that if they do that challenge, they will find after 30 days, well, you know what? I am buying 3 packs of cigarettes a week. I am ordering pizza once a week. I am doing things that are designed for instant gratification and have literally zero financial reasons. I mean, a lot of people, their necessities are not really their necessities when they break it down on paper. Do you really need to order that pizza and that buffalo chicken? Do you really need to?
And is that even good for you? Will it benefit you in the long run?
Or don't get Mark started. Don't get Mark started on the GMOs. If you guys want to listen to the GMO Monsanto episode, go in the archives. Let's not go there, because if Mark starts, he will not stop.
That's a very good point, and I bring that, Mark, is that, like, again, especially the single mom with the screaming child. Listen, I have 2 sons of my own. You know, I know that sometimes you're tired, and going through the drive-thru may seem like an easier choice. But I got to tell you, one, I agree with Mark, it's not helping. But two, you're spending so much money, and you don't realize that that's not a need. Going home and making possibly something healthy, I have to take this on the side note. But even going home and helping your kids prepare a meal, mm-hmm. not only you're saving money, but you're also the quality of life for your kids. I do have to say, both of my kids are phenomenal cooks.
I love that. And I can appreciate you promoting that message, because, one, it's healthier. And, you know, you know what you're cooking. When you order food from a restaurant, you have no idea what they're doing back there most of the time. Two, it's much cheaper, and more times you're getting better quality when you get it from a local deli, especially if you shop somewhere where it's fresh farm food or organics, or if you're lucky enough to know of a farm that is in a reasonable distance from where you live. And three, this is a point that also shouldn't be understressed. You're literally spending more quality family time making a meal together. Exactly. I think there's a beauty in making a meal with your family and eating the meal, or making a meal for some loved one and that person eating that meal that you cooked and you specifically took time to make. When someone cooks a meal for me, I appreciate it.
And people also tend to forget this too. Every dollar that you do spend is ultimately a vote. So if you decide to spend on something frivolous, some consumer product that you don't necessarily need, that was made by a company who has outsourced the same job to another country where labor laws and environmental protection laws are either non-existent or loosely enforced at best, you, with every dollar you spend, are voting and therefore condoning what that product ultimately represents, whether it's from sweatshop labor, or whether it's supporting a factory abroad instead of some manufacturing that could have been done here.
Right. Well, let's not get started on the China situation with all of the
Let's not do that. But, you know, the other thing with a family is, and if you don't, if you're not a mom, you don't have kids, you may want to pass along this episode to somebody that does. By having and helping your kids, help in the kitchen, prepare a meal, they are going to be, they're going to be more adventurous when it comes to testing new food. Mm-hmm. So those moms, they say, I have a picky eater, my kid won't eat this, my kid won't eat that. Get them in the kitchen with you. I guarantee you, once they cook, because they take pride in what they made, they will be more adventurous in testing out new foods, new adventures, and next thing you know, you have the good old days family time.
I agree. And maybe the food is barely edible, but because the child made it, to him, it's the most delicious thing, and you got to eat that thing and pretend it's delicious. Otherwise, you know, he'll be upset. But that's a great point too.
And something that I think our listeners are starting to see here is, no matter what kind of guests we have on our show, whether it's a financial expert or someone in entertainment, or someone who helps poor people, we always come back to certain themes that really show, even though they may be an expert in one field, everything is ultimately connected. And everything ultimately either is there to benefit you or can possibly even hurt you. So think about the things that you do. And right. Something I encourage my students is take at least an hour out of your day just to reflect about your day, about your life, about how you feel. And then analyze that. You know, why were you not feeling well? Did you maybe not sleep enough? Did you not eat well? Did you maybe not prepare as much as you should have for an exam or something? You know, think about the health of yourself and think about the health of your family. No matter what your hobbies ultimately are or what you want to do for a living, we always come back to service, right? I mean, what is the point of an economy other than delivering your services to other people and then making living off of it? So keep in mind that when you save, you might think you're not helping anyone else but yourself, but you are. You're helping your immediate family, you're making them healthy, wealthy, and wise, and you're also supporting responsible consumerism.
That's right. Those are some great points, Mark. So, Cello, what else is it that we can have for people listening that are pragmatic, direct ways that they could really enhance their financial literacy? And things that people don't necessarily need to own a business right now, but people that are just, you know, trying to make ways to survive can really implement to help take a little burden off their shoulder.
Well, perfect example. Oh my God, you guys are good. So let's take somebody that they have made some mistakes in the past and they have some credit card debts and they're in that, you know, living paycheck to paycheck. I say, look through your closet. Look in your garage, and is there anything you can sell?
Mm.
Is there anything you can sell to bring in immediate cash?
Mm.
They said, my ladies, my retired ladies, I have a group of retired ladies, and they had a garage sale. They made $500.
Wow.
Oh,
that's not bad.
Right? That is... I mean, it's a lot of money in the sense of, you know, what can you pay off with that credit card? Let's say you've paid off your credit cards now. You know, but what if you start building that reserve account for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
So that you, when that, you know, your car needs tires or, you know, birthdays come along or school supply comes around, so those things do not catch you off guard.
I agree.
But that's unfortunate. Yeah,
I unfortunate agree.
What happens, right? We always play catch up.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And it's funny you bring up the clothing. I used to be in the garment business. I owned a retail store in Cerritos. It was a brief little experiment, you know. We had a women's clothing store at the Cerritos Mall, and one thing I learned though as an investor of that company was the upsell is so insane in the garment business. You know, there's so much money that people spend on clothing, and there's so much money that people are willing to spend on clothing that it blew my mind because I had no idea that a jacket could be worth $300 or $400 when it's, you know, a very normal looking jacket that's not leather, that's really average. So you would be surprised how much money people can make, especially with these secondhand store franchises that are popping up all over the place. You know, you guys might think, well, nobody wants this old jacket. Well, you take that to the secondhand place, they're probably going to give you $80 for it because they could probably sell it for $200. So don't underestimate the power of your closet. That's a great point that I hope people are writing down.
Yeah, don't, right? And if you're not needing it, you know, I would say go ahead, use my 1 year rule. It's not mine, but I love it. If you haven't used it in 1 year, get rid of it.
That is such a valid point. In my environmental sociology class, we actually talk about the things that you buy. Will you still actually be using those things 6 months from now? And it turns out, you know, there's actually some statistics on this, and they say 1% of the purchases you make is used within 6 months after its purchase. And that goes for, obviously, food items, which you generally shouldn't keep around for 6 months. You should eat those, right? But this goes around for other items as well. Once you use it, 1% of what you buy, you end up using 6 months from now. If that's very common with the things that you end up buying, you might want to evaluate your purchasing priorities,
right?
And then you can save money that way.
That's a great point. And Chella, going back to the instant gratification and the people who are in positions where Mark was talking about how they just feel like they're in survival mode, it's so funny. A lot of people who are listening to this might be thinking to themselves, well, I don't really make enough money to invest. I don't really make enough money to save. And we're just kind of talking to a brick wall. But how much do you want to bet a lot of those same people have a $700 iPhone right now?
Ooh, good point.
How much you want to bet that they still, you know, have a $150 a month plan on their phone where they can make sure that they can get all the texts and all the calls and all the, all the things? You know, I'm not ashamed to say this publicly. I have a LG Stylo. It cost me $99. I can do literally everything with my phone that a person with the brand new iPhone can do.
Oh, yeah,
if not
Mo?
More.
Oh, yeah? Well, I have a, what is it, a Torch or something from BlackBerry?
Right.
It's basically...
Yeah.
I make the Soviet Union look modern, I know.
So
it works for me, though.
Yeah, so, and I hope LG's listening, because, you know, I would like a sponsorship, but it's true. I'm literally looking at my phone right now, and, you know, I don't think I need to get an iPhone just because everybody else thinks it's the cool thing to do. Because financially, yeah, I could go get one, but it just doesn't make pragmatic sense. You could pay, you know, everyone listening can pay $5 a gallon for gas, but why would you? It just doesn't make sense. You know, it's not going to make or break you if you pay $5 a gallon for gas. Most people could probably afford to spend the extra 20, 30 bucks. But why would you? It makes no sense. Examine what you're doing with your money, folks, because a lot of people are buying brands and they got to start to let themselves understand. It's not about the brand. So understand that it's not about the brand.
It's who are you making rich?
Exactly.
You know, think about who you're making rich versus putting that money into your account, you know, for whether reserve for whatever it may be. And, Mo, I want a piece of that LG action because that's what I have.
Well, there you go. You know what, folks? It's been validated. You know, when a financial expert who knows the ins and outs of money has the same phone that you have, you know you're doing something right. So thank you so much, Chella. You know, you made my day.
That is fabulous. Because that's some of the things. But getting back to the clothes, and I'm not going to say men versus women, but yeah, one, get rid of some of that stuff, you know, and put that money into a reserve account, and that's where you can start building some. If my retired ladies that are on a fixed income can go out and save money and make money, I believe that pretty much anybody else could fall into that same. I mean, retired ladies.
Mm-hmm. You know,
and they were able to make money. Save money and make money.
I think there's one element that we haven't really addressed yet, and this is something that I get sometimes.
Uh-oh, what's the elephant in the room, Mark? What's the elephant in the room? Tell us.
Well, I'm a historian, among other things, and people say, gosh, well, history's so boring. Well, I hear those same people also saying, well, gosh, economics, money, I just don't care. It's boring. I'm not interested in this. How do you get people who don't really want to necessarily engage right off the bat with finances? How do you engage people that are just kind of like, I don't care. I'll figure it out.
And that I have perfect. It's a rule of 72. Again, YouTube. And that's, you know what? This generation is so fortunate, right? I know I'm going to date myself here, but I used to be able to do my research and I used to have to go to the library.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Get the text, but go to YouTube. See what the rule of 72 is going to tell you how quickly you can double your money. So if you have $5,000 now, go find out how quickly that can double using the rule of 72.
Another golden nugget, folks. Rule of 72. Hope you guys are paying attention, writing this stuff down. You know, rule of 72 is another wonderful way, and I'm so glad you're bringing up stuff that, you know, I had in my gray matter that I haven't even considered. So I'm so excited to talk to you, because, you know, a lot of these and it's always good to reevaluate what you're doing, because a lot of people might get off track. Chella, we're falling into the last few minutes of our show here, but before we go off, I do want to make sure that the people listening who may be interested in one of your, and I know you have many, one of your programs, whether that be specifically catered to people in the lower end demographics, specifically catered for people who are investing in businesses and real estate, where can they get more information about the incredible consulting and the incredible programs that you do offer?
I got to tell you, we are getting ready to, I have an online program, and just between you and I and your listeners, we're about to roll it out, and we're going to give it out for free.
Wow. Okay, come on.
Very good.
That deserves it. I was standing up while I was clapping, Chella, because I can, you know, because it reminds me so much of things that we've been able to do with NHH when we had that high school program, which was streamlined for free. I love educating people for free. It's what I live for. It's why we do this show. I think it's an incredible feeling. The best thing you could teach a person is to teach them how to fish, not give them a fish. So, you know,
I'm getting ready to roll out that for free, so they can contact me, Chella, Chella, at moneyiq901.com. Chella at moneyiq901.com. It should be ready by the end of this month. They're working on putting it up on our website so that instead of paying for it, they're just going to be able to have access to it. The people that have used that system have been able to pay off credit card debts. They've been able to save up for a down payment in the house. It's the day-to-day action steps that you need to take so that you're not overwhelmed.
And since this is a free public service, many of you who have been listening to the show and following the press releases know that Fortune Gazette magazine is ready for its launch next month. And we do have a section which promotes people, companies, businesses, and brands that do a free public service. So expect a full-page spread with all of the information with regards to Chella's public service in the next issue of Fortune Gazette. So all you people that are subscribed, you guys don't really need to write down this stuff because you'll read it in a couple weeks anyway. So we're so excited to help promote this free public service. And one more time for those listening, what was the domain name website so they can, you know, check it out?
It's moneyiq901.com.
Moneyiq901.
What is your money IQ? Moneyiq901.com.
Well, I know that your IQ is 901.
That is phenomenal.
That's what I do know about you, Chella. But I this whole money IQ thing, I don't know. You know, I don't know what my money IQ is. Hopefully it's you know, close to competing with you. I know I can't, but hopefully it's not too far off either. I hope to hold my own.
You will. Well, you have Mark. He'll help you.
That's right. That's a good point. Yeah.
Thank you. Flattering.
All righty.
Because there's so much fun, guys. I'm so glad. I'm just thrilled.
I'm so excited to have you, and I want to wrap up the show here by just giving a special thanks, Chella. Folks, people pay a lot of money to sit down and talk to her for a whole hour. I don't think you guys understand that what an honor it was for her to donate an hour of her time and give us some real golden nuggets. And the public service that she's doing in the coming months, certainly something everybody, whether you're, you know, just getting ready to buy your first house or investing in your fourth piece of property, you need to listen to these tips because, you know, life and financial investments is like a sword. Once in a while, you got to just sharpen it, and you can't think you're too sharp to be sharpened because that's when you fall.
Wow. That one took me really off.
I can't top that, so I'm going to say amen.
Amen and hallelujah. Ladies and gentlemen, we will see you next time right here on the Edutain Me Show. I am Mo Rock alongside Mark Voss. Mark, closing words.
Well, again, it's been a real pleasure having you on our show, and I hope our listeners really do get a lot out of this and start thinking about money a little bit differently. You know, that's kind of the main goal of the show, is to get you to see things in a new light and just to think, be enlightened, right?
And remember, if it doesn't make money, it doesn't make sense. And remember to tell them to show me the money. So grab the spear of life and aim it, and you'll be guided by Edutain Me.
So there's this concept that we put together called edutainment. So edutainment is a combination between entertainment and education. So we want to make education entertaining.
So can't see, so grab the spear of life and aim it, and you'll be guided by edutainment.